Alrighty. So, obviously, my name's Caleb. I think y'all should know that by now. I wish there was more people here. I don't like how few people there are. But a few weeks ago, Piper spoke, and it kind of motivated me to speak up here. And I don't know how much longer I'm going to stay in Viola. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna speak myself. And I was struggling on like what God wanted me to speak for this. And I got it like last week. So here I am. I'm up here speaking. And I want everyone to ask yourself this one question. Why are you living for God? Like, don't answer it out loud or anything, but just think about that. And that's a little bit of a deep question. So think about that for a few seconds. I mean, I would just like, actually, never mind. I'm not going to stand up here and be so quiet because that'd be awkward. But anyway, for me, the reason I live for God is just that he gives me hope. You know, I think everyone in this life needs hope. And when I think about what God brings, when I think about what God gives, like, that's the most hope I could ever have. That the creator of the universe loves me so much, and he's willing to get everything done for me. And maybe for you, the reason you're living for God, you found that answer pretty fast. And maybe for some of you, it came a little bit, you know, it took you a little bit to find that answer. Or maybe you don't have an answer as to why you're living for God. And that's fine. But that's what I want to be talking about today. Why you should live for God. Why making God the number one thing in your life is so, so important. Because I'm going to be honest with y'all, even though I feel like I got it figured out sometimes, there's going to be times where, like, I forget why I'm living for God. You know, I'll just be, like, sitting in my room praying or just chilling, thinking, and then I'll think to myself, why am I living for God in the first place? And it's like, I'm not an atheist or anything, but I kind of forget the reason sometimes. And so I just need to, like, I need a reason to remind myself in that moment. Or maybe for some of y'all in this room, you don't have an actual reason to live for God. And maybe you want to live for God, but again, you don't have a reason as to why you're living for him. And maybe another reason why you don't, like, your reason for living for God is just that everyone else is doing it. You know, like, you go to church, you go to school, and everyone around you is just claiming to be a Christian and saying they know Jesus. And that's your reason to live. You want to do it so you can fit in and not fit out. And so maybe you're in this place and you just need to be reminded on why it's important to live for Jesus. Or maybe you need a new reason why you need to live for him today. And so my first point is that the evidence of God is all around us. Like, I think you go outside and even in this room, like, I see everyone right now and, like, I think God is all around us. And, like, you might be thinking to yourself, how is God all around us? Like, I can't see him. I can't feel him. I can't smell him. I can't do any of this. What do you mean he's all around us? And that's a good question. But I want you to think about this. Think about how incredibly detailed our world is. Like, how incredibly detailed us as humans are. And then you go outside and just, like, it's every little thing isn't, like, such great detail. Like, I don't know if I'm really hitting it home, but, like, it's true. And I want to start off, like, there are so many things for us that we need to live. Like, there are so many things that need to go happen for us. I don't know if I'm explaining that right. But there's so many things in order for things to happen that need for us to live. Wow, I'm really screwing up. So obviously, like, we need stuff like food and water and oxygen. But there's so much more that we don't see and we don't know that need to happen. And those things happen. For example, I got this from Young Sheldon, by the way. If gravity was slightly more powerful, the universe would collapse into a ball. And, like, I don't know what that looks like the universe just collapsing into a ball, but that sounds really scary. And then if gravity was slightly less powerful, the universe would simply just fly apart, and there would be no more planets, no more stars, nothing like that. And again, I don't know what the universe flying apart would look like, but that sounds scary. Simply put, if gravity was slightly less or slightly more powerful, none of us would be alive. Gravity is exactly where it needs to be in order for us to live. And just think about that. Like, that's, like, just one thing. That's one little thing that I know, like, there has to be a God out there. And this is another crazy stat I found. That's not from Young Sheldon. But think about the odds of just your parents having you. Like, that's a lot. Those are crazy odds. Now you take it a step back. What are the odds of your parents even meeting in the first place? And then growing and forming that relationship that was, and then having you later on down the line. And now you take it a step back even further. Your grandparents, what are the odds of your grandparents having you? Or having your parents, and your parents having you? And you just go on after generation after generation after generation. Them finding each other, and them, you know, making kids and all that. When you take in the fact of your parents having you, oh man, y'all are laughing. When you take in the fact, though, of your parents having you, them meeting, then your grandparents having your parents, and all the generations before that, the odds of you being born are 1 in 550,343,279,001. That's insane. Like, genuinely think about that. The odds of you being born, like, when you just consider those odds, there are so many more we need. There's so many more we need to consider. But when you just consider all the generations before you, them meeting, which ultimately led to your parents meeting, and having you, the odds of all of those things happening are incredibly high. 1 in 550 billion. And, like, I think about the gravity thing, like, how it's, like, incredibly perfect, and I think about that there's a 1 in 550 billion chance of just me being born and every single one of you as well. And I think about that, like, the odds were against us, and yet we're still here. Like, you hear that, like, God absolutely has a plan for you. Like, you don't think you're here for a reason, but God didn't stop a 1 in 550 billion odd chance against you. That didn't stop him from making you. Like, you're not an accident. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. God is talking to Jeremiah here, but the point still stands for each and every single one of us in this room. Before God even breathed life into this world, he thought of you, and he knew you, and he had a plan and a purpose for you before time even began. And now, like, think about how, like, incredibly detailed, like, you are as a person. Like, our body is perfect to just function for everyday life. Our mind, our heart, our lungs, many more things inside of our body are helping us live right now, and it happens so naturally, like, we don't even think about it. And it's not just that. Think about you yourself, like, your eye color, wait, that's my eye, your hair, like, the fact that you have a personality, your hobbies, the fact that you love people, all the emotions you feel. Like, we are so incredibly detailed when it comes to stuff like that. It says in Psalms 139:13-14, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. And so you just think about the astronomical odds against us for even living, yet we're still here. And everything is perfectly in place for us to live. And the fact that we are so incredibly detailed, we are so beautiful inside and out. Like, we are so wonderfully complex. When you compare those two factors together, the fact that we're living and the fact, like, we are so beautiful in detail, I come to the conclusion, there's no way we are here by accident. When you look at all the detail around us, I think there has to be a higher power out there. And that leads me to my second point, why you should choose Jesus. Now, in Viola, everyone here is a Christian, but back where I used to live in Bentonville, there are all sorts of different people living. And this is not just in Bentonville, it's like every other large city. You're going to find a lot of people who are living all sorts of different ways. You know, you have atheists, Muslims, Mormons, you name it. There's so many ways of living. And when you're around all that, you can begin to ask yourself, is picking Jesus really the right one? Because there's so many different options. How do I know the one that I'm living? How do I know that's the right one? And that's a good question. If you ever find yourself asking that question, it's a phenomenal question. But to answer that, I want to go to Genesis 1:26, and it says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. When God said in our image, it meant that God designed us to be like him. Obviously, like, we're not God or anything like that, but we share a lot of similar qualities that God has. Out of anything in this world, we bear the most resemblance to him. For example, we all have our own thoughts. God says his thoughts are higher than our own understanding, so we're not going to be thinking as highly as God. But each and every single one of you are crazy thinkers. Like, we all have our own specific set of thoughts that no one else has. It cannot be replicated. We're also all creative. God is the ultimate creator. He created this world. He created all of us. And obviously, we can't create that. But we're all creative in our own unique way. Like, I can't draw or paint a picture to save my life, but I can do other things that are creative. But the most important quality we share with God, in my opinion, is love. We're not always going to love to the fullest. I mean, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to share hate sometimes to others. But we're still very, very capable of love. We love our friends. We love our family. We love our community. It's love that drives each and every single one of us together. And honestly, I think it's love that makes the world keep on spinning. And as humans, I think we were designed to be loved. We were designed to be seen, and we were designed to be heard. And there is no other God that is going to love us, see us, and hear us more than this God that we serve. If you look at every other religion, it says, look, I'll love and accept you as long as you do this, as long as you do that. You can get into heaven. You can do all the, you can have everlasting life as long as you do this and that and this and that on earth. And that's not what real love is. Real love isn't going to be based on how good or how bad you do. Real love is never changing. It's unconditional. I think about my parents, why they love my siblings, me and my siblings. It's not because we do good in school. It's not because we obey the rules. It's not because we're good at sports or anything like that. Our parents love us because we're our children. Like, we're their children. Like, it's just a natural love. Stop laughing. I could be failing every single class. I could be disobeying all the rules. I could be the worst child imaginable. And even though my parents wouldn't like that, they would still love me regardless. Their love for me wouldn't change. And that's exactly how our God is. That's exactly who Jesus is. Jesus looks at every single one of us and he goes, look, I've seen all the times you've told a lie. I've seen all the times you've cussed. I've seen all the times you went back and looked at something you weren't supposed to. I saw every time you hit the vape. I saw every time you lusted after a guy or a girl. I saw every time you got out and partied. I've seen every single mistake you've made. I've seen every mistake you're going to make. But I didn't change my perception and my opinion about you at all. I never abandoned you. I never stopped loving you. And I never will stop loving you. Your mistakes didn't like stop me from creating you. In fact, I love you so much, I was willing to come down on this earth, take all the mistakes you've ever made, put it on myself, and die a brutal death so that way you can just have a relationship with me and have everlasting life. And to be completely honest, I've never seen a love like that. I don't think you'll go out into the world and see a love like that portrayed by anybody else or anything else. And I think that's what makes me choose Jesus. When I look at the fact that we're all living, what I talked about earlier, those odds, those astronomical odds of us living, the fact that we're still here because of that, the fact that we are so incredibly detailed, every single thing about us is so beautiful in our own unique way, and the fact that we need to be loved, and there is no other love than the love that Jesus shares, that's how I know Jesus is the one. And so that's about it. Thank you.
Yeah, I was hoping you were going to give an altar call. All right, so I ain't got time to preach my message, so stand up. We're going to go ahead and do an altar call. So Caleb talked about why we should choose Jesus, right? So when he asked that question at the very beginning, go back to that. Think about that. If you have already chosen Jesus, what made you choose him? Maybe you're at a place tonight that you're still not sure if you want to or not. But maybe you're here and you're like, you know what? I want to choose Jesus. So I'm going to pray. We're going to open up the altars tonight. And if you want to choose Jesus tonight, tonight's the night. Father, I thank you for the message that you gave Caleb. Lord, I pray that you would just touch every student, God, that this message spoke to tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would give them, Lord, the strength to step out, God, to choose Jesus tonight. And Lord, I pray for those that are maybe questioning, maybe doubting sometimes. God, I pray that tonight they would understand why they chose you. They would remember why they chose you in the first place. And God, I pray for those that just need encouragement tonight, Lord, that you would lift them up. God, they're struggling, going through hard things. And Lord, I pray that you would just be there for them tonight. God, that you would strengthen them tonight. So if you're in this place tonight and you would say, I want to choose Jesus, then I invite you to come up to the front and we're going to pray. You would say, I want to choose Jesus. Maybe you're in here and you say, sometimes I forget why I did. And you want to remember that reason that you chose him. If that's you, then I want you to come up to the front tonight. Maybe some of the rest of you would say, I just need to be encouraged. Because while I decided to choose Jesus, it's still hard. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you're going through a hard situation. But it's not easy to live different. So if you just need some encouragement tonight, then I want you to come up to the front and we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Leaders, if you would come and help me pray tonight.